If you haven't experienced that, you can. Because that's exactly what God does when we give him our sorrows. He can turn it into joy. God bless you. You may be seated. Good to see all of you here this morning. And blessings to our pastor and family. They taking advantage of Brooklyn's home. And just for this week, I think that she goes on a two or three month tour. And so they're doing a little family time, I think, get away as a family, and we're glad for that. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord today, and God can and desires to and is willing to use all of us in his work and his kingdom. If you haven't found your place of availability and value in the kingdom of God, you need to do so, because God has a place for every one of us. It matters not if you're a teenager, a young adult, an adult, a little bit older, or elderly. It doesn't matter. God has a place. He has a place where you fit is making part of the grand scheme of God. You fit part of the puzzle. And when your spot is empty, there is a gap in the plan of God for us. And so all of us have a place that we can fit into the kingdom of God. To some, it may be preaching. To some, it may be singing. It may be music. It may be testifying. It may be extra ability to help financially. It could be that you're just an encourager, a complimenter. You're a sympathetic ear, not for gossip, but for someone that is hurting and needs someone to listen and strengthen and pick them up and help them. It may be that you're just behind the scenes, but you're praying. But somewhere in multiple places, usually, there's a spot for you where you can fit into the kingdom of God and not only be blessed, but also be a blessing. And that is the plan of God. Title of our lesson today, excuse me, is Send Me, Lord. Send me, Lord. I want to be involved in the kingdom of God. I want to do something. I want to be valuable somewhere. It may be that you have a burden for the homeless. It may be that you have a burden for the elderly. It may be that you have a burden for young people. There's plenty of places where you can be involved in the kingdom of God, but none of us should find ourselves just taking care of the needs of me, but to often find ourselves in the blessings of God, in the kingdom of God, a place of usability, a place of value, where we can be used and be a blessing to the kingdom of God. So, Lord, send me. I'm willing to go. And there are a number of things that affect us in our ability to be used of God. One of the big hindrances is that I don't have the ability, or I'm not a singer, or I'm not a preacher, or I'm not a flamboyant personality. You can make all kinds of excuses. But there are all kinds of people are needed in the kingdom of God, and not all of them are going to be preachers or singers or flamboyant personalities, but there is, to make up a team, there's needed many, many different functions are desperately needed in the kingdom of God. If you take the simple analogy of the game of baseball, not everybody's a pitcher. Not everybody plays first base or infield. Not everybody can chase down a fly ball in deep center field, but there are places and different positions where you can and should be used and can be used to become part of the team. Not everybody gets on the field. Some are coaches. Some are first base coach, third base coach. Some are working with the pitchers. They're maybe past their prime and they couldn't pitch anymore, but they can visualize and see what a pitcher's doing or not doing that's beneficial, and they can encourage them and help them. Some know how to do special things. I remember several years ago, my oldest grandson was drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals, and he went in his first year of pro ball playing, and at the end of the season, they had him listed as top prospect, and they sent him to what they called an instructional league. It's where they took their top players, and they sent them to Jupiter, Florida, and it's there. They worked on all kinds of things. They worked on maybe base stealing, on batting, on outfield, on throwing. They worked on individualized things to take what they felt like was already a very good ball player, but to make them into a more proficient and a better player, a better team player, to fit into the general plan. And not everybody went there to work on pitching. Not everybody went there to work on catching. But many of them went there for various reasons, and it was to strengthen themselves to become better at what they did. The point I'm making right now is that the team needs all kinds of players. It needs all kinds of positions need to be fulfilled. And like I said, not everyone is going to be the team on the field. Sometimes there's a scorekeeper. The list just goes on and on and on of even off-the-field people. Some can find themselves deeply involved in a major league ball game, not because they're a player, but because somewhere they're assisting. Maybe it's in media. Maybe it's in projection. Maybe it's in, videoing or filming the players. Not everybody has the ability to hit the ball out of the park. Not everybody, as I've already said, has the ability to chase down a deep fly ball in the outfield. Not everybody is able to take a ball coming 105 miles an hour at shortstop and be able not to get it in the glove and not in the chin. Not everybody has that ability. Not everybody can pick up a ball from 90 to 120 feet away and throw a strike to first base to get somebody out by that much. Not everybody can do that. But there are some people that can. Not everybody can get a ball that's thrown errantly and it hits the dirt and have their glove in the right place to pick up an errant throw and save the thrower from having an error. But what I'm saying today is somewhere in the kingdom of God, there is a place for you. And you may not be the home run hitter. You may not be the base hitter. You may not be a lot of the other position players, but somewhere you can fit into the kingdom of God if you have a desire, and if you just simply have the attitude, is here am I, Lord, send me. I'm willing. Wherever I fit in, whatever I can do, God, please help me find my place in the kingdom of God and go. In today's world, God's not asking most of us to embark upon a journey fraught with peril. In olden times, if an ambassador was sent by a king into another country, he had to endure the possibilities of bandits, outlaws, the enemy capturing or torturing or hurting them. But when the king asked for volunteers or who would go and represent his kingdom into another country, there were many that volunteered knowing there was all kinds of peril that was going to come near them in their journeys, but they were willing to go. They were willing to take the risk. And for us, God is not asking most of us to go into places. There are some that go into foreign countries where there's a lot of danger, but most of us, we're not going into danger in that sense. But there are perils along the way for every one of us, and probably one of the largest perils that you and I are going to face is the peril of inadequacy. We don't feel like, well, I can't sing like someone else, or I can't preach like them, or I don't have their personality. And we find all kinds of reasons and excuses why we can't. When God's not asking us to do something we can't do, He's asking us to do what we can do. He's asking us, and when He asks us to fulfill a position or a task, He's not saying you can go because you have 100% of the ability. He's saying you go, and what you don't have, I will supply the balance. I will give you the strength that you need to fulfill the task that is asked of you. So most of us are going to wrestle with our own inadequacies and our own sense of lack of strength. Some will run from their calling. God calls, and I've seen this happen on numerous occasions, that you could sense that there was a tremendous call on someone's life, but they ran from it. They, like Moses, they said, I can't speak, or, you know, there's all kinds of excuses that someone will use today, or sometimes will say, well, I can't do that because I've been in the depths of sin, and I've done terrible things, and I have a bad past record. But God is not looking at your past. He's looking at your future. He's looking at what you can do when you submit yourself to and into the will of God. God is able to take me and all my shortcomings and cause me to be a blessing. Sometimes we understand because we know ourselves better than anybody else. We know our shortcomings. We know that we at times are short of what God really wants us to be. And we think, well, you know, I'm not the right person for that because I'm just not really. Well, let me remind you, in Scripture, one time God used a donkey to speak because nobody else was there to speak. There are other times that there were prophets that spoke prophetically that were out of the will of God, and they were not where God wanted them to be. But nevertheless, they prophesied as the God's power and spirit moved upon them. I have witnessed in my years of being around the kingdom of God, watch God use somebody that was sometimes in a very powerful way, only to find out later that they were not what we thought they were, but they were less than what we hoped that they would be. But nevertheless, God used them. You say, oh, well, why would God use somebody? God uses willing vessels. And sometimes the willing may be the least deserving, because God is not picking somebody that you've earned a position of authority, or you've earned a position of stage, being up front, being acclaimed by those around of what a great person you are. But God is looking for availability, not necessarily ability, but availability. Someone that is willing to be used of God. Does that mean that we don't try to prepare ourselves to be worthy of the position God calls us to? No, we do our best, and we should do our best. And the fact that sometimes God uses someone that's not right with God, and maybe in their secret life they are way short of what God really wants them to be, should not discourage us from striving to not only be used of God, but to be worthy of the position and the calling that God has called us to. Somebody says, well, I'm just not going to church anymore because there are hypocrites in the church. Well, I said it a long time ago. Where do you think you're going to find hypocrites? You're not going to find hypocrites at the bar. They're not on Sunday night at Buck and Sonny's. They're at Abundant Life Center. So if you're worried about going to church with hypocrites, well, maybe you ought to first of all look at yourself. You might be one of them. But if you're not, well, yeah, there's going to be some hypocrites there. And I've always said it this way. You want to go to church with them, or you want to go to hell with them? You know, take your choice. You're going to rub shoulders with people that are, we had a button many years ago that a lot of us wore, and we went through a phase where it was kind of a popular thing to do, and I'm not quick enough to say what it was. It was about a dozen letters, and you wore this button. It has all this BP and right on down the list, and it drew questions from people. Well, what does that mean? It said, be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. And he said the first letter of each word. Be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet. And I don't care how old you are, there's still mountains to climb and valleys to go through, lessons to be learned, and there are improvements to be made, and still repentance that's going to have to be given for you to make it in. Because as long as we're breathing air, we're human, we're frail, we make mistakes. But the ones that get up from their mistakes and keep going are the ones that's going to be a winner in the end. It's not the perfect, but it's the one that keep on moving, keep on thrusting forward. And so there's a lot of excuses we all can have, but there ought to be a desire that is common among all of us that says, here am I, Lord, send me. Where do you want me to be? Somebody says, well, you know, I'm willing if I can be that golden saucer that sits on the king's table. Yes, use me, Lord. But you might be the earthen pot that waters the flowers in the backyard and is sitting in the corner of the shed in between usages. We don't tell God where we're going to serve. We serve wherever we're asked to serve. And the beautiful thing about life is if you do the best you can be where you're at, those that make the decisions of where you're going to be will see something of value and they'll say, you know, they did a good job there. I think they can handle this job. And they handled this job good. I think they can handle this job. And sometimes someone that started out as the janitor of the company becomes the CEO of the company because at every phase of life, they did their best and they gave their all. They were a company thinker and a player. They were a team player. And they were elevated. And the Bible says a man's gift makes room for itself. You don't have to say, well, I had a man tell me one time, he was an aspiring minister. And he was like the rest of us. He had a lot of lumps and bumps in his life. But he told me, he said, well, I have a message I want to preach, but it's not a Wednesday night message, it's a Sunday night message. We don't decide where God's going to put us. But you do your best on Wednesday night. Maybe you do your best at a home Bible study. You do your best wherever you can fit in the kingdom of God. And if you're doing your best and you found a place where God is using you, then there will be a time that you will stand before kings and priests. There'll be a time that you stand before the masses because you've yielded yourself to God, and God takes people that are available and that are usable in his kingdom, and they will be elevated into a position where they can do the most blessing to the kingdom of God and to the purpose of God and the cause of God. So just fit in wherever God wants you to be. Sometimes God calls people in unique ways. Sometimes it's just a little urge. Moses saw a burning bush that didn't consume. He just kept burning. Had a little gas outlet at the bottom, just kept shooting up, and the bush didn't get consumed, and it burned and burned and burned, and he said, that's not normal. And so he walked closer, and then suddenly he felt the presence of God, and a voice spoke, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. And he had a tremendous experience with God. Sometimes the Lord may call you into a particular phase of his ministry, and he might do it in a real dramatic way. But sometimes a friend of mine uses these words rather than saying, God spoke to me and said, he said, God made me to know. And I like that description because sometimes people that think God spoke to them and said, and then it turns out that what they thought God said, obviously God didn't say it because it didn't work out like it would have worked out if God had said it. But I like the idea of saying God made me to know. Many times in the spirit, I have felt an unction. I have felt the presence of God. I have felt direction from God. Sometimes it's a boom, and we know right there. Sometimes it's a growing. Sometimes it's a work in progress that God begins to deal with us in a certain area. He starts giving us a burden for a particular type of ministry or for a person or to be in intercession or prayer for the man of God or to promote somebody else. And you may not know it all at one time, but it kind of grows into a ministry because you've yielded yourself and God has led you. God has made you to know where you fit in, where you can be a blessing. to the kingdom of God. Here am I, Lord, send me. The first absolute positive thing that needs to happen with all of us is it needs to happen where we make ourselves available. And we're available, using the analogy I just gave you a moment ago, we're available as an earthen pot in the backyard or a crystal chandelier hanging from the ceiling or a golden pot sitting on the king's table. It doesn't matter. Just God, I want to be used wherever you fit in. A number of years ago in this building, wasn't too long after we had this building built, we had a big banner over here and another one over here. And a banner that has always stuck with me, there was a particular man of God came and ministered this church. And he made this statement, and we kind of picked it up and put it in print and put it on a nice banner on the wall. You are either ministering to someone else or you're in need of being ministered to. There's no in-betweens. You're either a baby that's still having to be bottle fed and diapers changed, or you become the big sister or big brother that starts even at a young age of babysitting and taking care of little brother, little sister, and being mom and dad's little assistant, finally to the place that you have your own. But you're either one or the other. You're either ministering to, or you're in need of being ministered to. Maturity, whether it's in life or even in the kingdom of God, is exactly the same. Are you still a baby that we have to worry over you and miss you and tell, we've been missing you at church and, I'm so sorry that you're going through troubles and trials and we're worried over you and where have you been? I'm afraid you're backsliding or you're losing out with God or maybe you're a brand new convert and you really don't know and we're ministering to you. Or do you mature into a place that you say, okay, Pastor, what can I do to be a benefit? Where can I fit in the kingdom of God? It might be, as has already been mentioned several times in the early part of this service, it might have been a fundraiser that, like they had yesterday, where they're raising money to send a bunch of our young people to St. Louis, Missouri, to the International Youth Congress. And I know they will be tremendously blessed. It's become a gathering of young folks that is far beyond anything we've ever experienced before. Some 20, 30, 40,000 young people gathered together worshiping God. What an awesome event. And for our young folks have already got their tickets in. They're on the ground floor. They're going to be right in the middle of it all. And they're going to have the peer pressure there is not to be smoking a joint or to be immoral and all the other things a lot of kids are facing. But there the peer pressure is everybody's worshiping God. And it's a tremendous uplift and a strength for them. But where do you fit in? Well, maybe you're not going to get to go. But you can buy a chicken dinner as I like to do, when you pay for the chicken dinner, you don't just pay what's asked, but you throw in a little bit extra to help them putting together their funds to be able to do something that will benefit them for the kingdom of God. That's where you fit in. That's where you can be a blessing. So you're ministering, and not every time you minister are you the one that is getting all the accolades and all the glory. It might be, as was already mentioned today by Brother Benia, that thank you for those that assisted. Some of them, their names weren't called, and they didn't get any accolades. They worked hard. They sweated. They toiled. They cooked. They packaged food. They delivered food. They did something. They were involved, and they're a no-name. Nobody knows who they are and who all was actually here and working. But they were fitting in somewhere in the kingdom of God, and wherever it happened to be that they fit, they were saying, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm willing to be involved. You're either ministering or you're in need of being ministered to. What is the story of your calling? We're all called to be ministers in the kingdom of God. Not everybody's going to find themselves that they're the minister that is the pastor, or they're the minister that's the youth leader or the choir director. Not everybody can play the organ or the piano. Not everybody can play the bass guitar or the guitar. But somebody found a place where they can fit into the kingdom of God. Again, sometimes it is always very, very noteworthy that if nothing but an encourager is a tremendous fit in the kingdom of God. We talk about it often, and not probably not enough, because it is very valuable. We've got a 97-year-old lady sitting over here that when all the rest of us are finding excuses because we got a headache or a backache or a bellyache or a tired ache, find ourselves at home, she's worrying over who's going to pick me up to get me on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, revival nights, going to be at the house of God, want to be here. What does she do? She doesn't sing loud. She doesn't run the aisles. She just comes and sits there and gets a few hugs and is an encouragement and a blessing to every one of us that knows Sister Leek, because she's a valuable part in the kingdom of God. Where does she fit? She fits after 97 years of life, and most of that whole life living for God and walking with God sets an example to all of us that if you want to, you can. And if you want to find an excuse, you can find an excuse. But if you really want to live for God, if you really want to do what's right, you can do what God calls you to do. And what a blessing that is. I've known Sister Leek for close to 50 years. And my first knowing her was staying in her home, and her being an encouragement, and her tremendous husband, who is dead and gone on to his reward, were a tremendous blessing and encouragement to me. When I became a pastor here in 1972, that's 47 and a half years ago, when I became the pastor, they were an encourager. I remember her husband, Brother Luke, would come up to me many, many times. Rarely would he ever leave the building. But whatever I'm doing, he would slip his way over to me and shake my hand. And he had a way of reaching up and get me by the back nap of the neck and pulling me down to him and getting a hug and tell me it was a great message tonight or some kind of compliment. An encourager, a blessing. He never preached a message that I know of in his life. And a few times maybe sang along with his wife, but he wasn't an often special singer or any of that, but he was an encourager. He was available. And when we were building this building, we have photographs and video of several folks that have gone on to be with the Lord. They were here working, scraping, putting insulation in the walls, and all kinds of various things. We have video of elder men that are now gone on to be with the Lord. I'm thinking of Charlie and John Dombeck and Elder Leek and a number of others, Elder Sparks, that were here working. Lottie Felime, different ones that spent a lot of hours. Brother Ramirez, they were here many times working in the building of this building. And now they're all gone, and most of you don't even know the names that I just quoted, but they were an integral part of the building of this building in about 1994 and 95 when this building was built. They were here, and we have video of them fitting in somewhere in the work of the kingdom of God. Now they're gone on, but we're receiving the blessings and the rewards of their labor at this point, because they said, I may not be the general contractor, I may not be able to do everything, but I can do this and I can do that, and I can kind of clean up a little bit, or there's somewhere I can fit in the kingdom of God. And that is an encouragement, and that is a need for every one of us to fit somewhere in the kingdom of God. When we make ourselves available to the kingdom of God, God will equip us for the task at hand. In the natural sense, we say, I need you to go over here and do this particular job. And here's the utility truck with this tool, this tool, this tool, and this tool. Here's all the equipment you need to perform the task. God calls us to do the job, but then he gives us the equipment we need. And Maybe we think, well, but I don't have the right personality, or I don't have the right presentation. And there's a lot of excuses we can make why we can't. But when we say, I'm willing, God says, okay, you do your best, and I will fill in all the gaps, and I will make you accomplish, help you accomplish what is intended for you to do. Think back on the time when you experienced the presence of the Lord, and how did you feel? Think back about a time when you felt like God was calling you. God was encouraging you to follow His directions in the presence of God. It may not have been a burning bush. It may not have been a booming voice through the microphone. It may have been the preached word of God. It may have been a song. It may have been in the quietness of your own meditation. You may have been driving down the road. You may have been in a revival service and power packed, or you may have been in a lonely place, just you and God. But God quickened to you and spoke to you, encouraged you, made you to know, and called you into service for the kingdom of God. Although we serve the same God, we all relate to Him in very different ways. Isaiah saw Him as a judge or a king, a divine warrior, a powerful God. There are literally dozens of names about God in the Word of God. He's our provider. He's our healer. He's our soon-coming king. He's our encourager. The list goes on and on and on. Not everybody sees God the same, but we all can draw strength from God. One of the requirements for anything that we ever have done or ever will do for God is we have to come with humility. We don't decide, I've got a Sunday night message. And by the way, that person that had that Sunday night message gave that Sunday night message, and within a month they were gone. Floating here, away from God, all kinds of problems. They may have felt like, oh, well, because you don't decide, okay, God, this is where I'm going to fit in. You say, God, wherever you can use me, I'm available. And it may be the backyard, or it may be on the palace floor. It could be all kinds of places that if you find yourself in the right place and you fit into the kingdom of God, you can be used of God and be a great blessing to the kingdom of God. So we just simply say, God, I'm coming to you, and I'm unworthy to even serve in your kingdom. And you got to come in humility. You don't come with your own strength and power and presence and think, you know, boy, I really can benefit you. If you'll just let me, I can really, really, really be a blessing to your church or to your kingdom or to your family or whatever. But you come with an attitude of, God, here am I. Isaiah felt very, very privileged when he received the vision of the call of God. He could have been overwhelmed with pride and said, you know, well, you know, I knew I was a really great guy and this is where I belong. But no, he came, God, I'm unworthy to serve you, but I'm willing. Wherever you put me, wherever you can use me, he became one proclaiming the goodness and the blessings of God. He had a very different reaction. Instead of being haughty, he felt humbled to be called of God. God, you would use me? Because I know who I am. And I know he knows who I am. And you would use me even though you know me? Yes. Humbled in the presence of God. And instead of feeling superior, he felt subpar. Instead of feeling righteous, he felt repentant. Sometimes the call of God brings us to an altar to repent. God, you know, if you're really going to use me, I've got to improve who I am. I've got to submit more of myself to you. I've got to be more submissive and have an humble attitude. Those who have truly experienced a divine call will feel that same humility. They, They may feel overwhelmed and completely inadequate to answer the great call of a tremendous God, that God is willing to use me. What would your attitude be when God calls you? Do you come in your own strength, or you say, God, I'm willing, but I feel weak. I feel frail. I feel unworthy. But God, if you'll go with me, I can, excuse me, I can accomplish your plan. Isaiah found it in these words. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. What was he saying? The little button, be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. He said, I'm undone. I haven't cooked long enough. I haven't matured enough. I haven't humbled enough. I haven't submitted myself to God enough. I'm a work in progress. So be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. Who does God use? He doesn't use finished products. He works on the product. He improves the product. He causes us to become better. He causes us to become more proficient. When we come into the presence of God, we can and will, and God uses us in his kingdom for his cause. He said it this way. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Not only am I messed up, but everybody around me is messed up. And you could use me, God? God says, come to me, and I will make you into what I need you to be. Isaiah was flawed, and the people around him were flawed. He had no other choice but to confess his sins. When God said, I want to use you, he said, but God, you know that I've got this hang up. And God, you know that I am dealing with this problem. And God, you know that I have come up short of what I know I should be in this area. And God says, I want to use you. What does it do? If we're humble when we come in the presence of God, it causes us to go back to an altar, to build an altar in our own life, to confess our sins, to ask for God's strength and help, that we could become more presentable for the kingdom of God and for the work of God in which God has called us. And so what do? We have no choice but to confess our sins. Say, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not worthy. I'm not as good as I should be. But God, with your help and your strength, I'll work on some of my flaws. But at the same time, anything that's good in me, God, I submit it to you, and I allow you to use it for your glory and for your kingdom and for your cause. He humbled himself in the presence of the Great One, and he could only do one thing, and that was repent. Everything that we do when we come before God requires repentance. Paul, one that wrote 13 books of the New Testament, we've known him as the great Apostle Paul. He said, I keep my body under and bring it into subjection daily, lest after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. And if someone becomes a castaway, the good seed they have sown still is good seed. And it's not measured by that one that delivered the seed. It's still good seed. And sometimes we look around us, and my remarks a little earlier about there being hypocrites in the church. There are those that don't live up to the potential that God knows they have. And God uses people that sometimes are less than perfect. But when it's all said and done, we're serving God, not people. We're not building our relationship with God based on the pastor or based on brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. We're not building our relationship with God on how good the choir sings or doesn't sing. But we build our relationship on him, knowing that God will equip us to become all that he wants us to be. Those who are called will come to a place where they're stripped of all of their own accolades, their own gifts, their own accomplishments. And the book of Hebrews states, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. We cannot come to him and sneak our way in the side and hide all of our flaws and our faults and present ourselves that, oh, I am Reverend His Holy Eminence coming to you, and God, you're lucky to have me. But we come before God naked and ashamed. We come before God with all of our flaws, all of our inadequacies are known already to God. But he says, come to me. I'll give you strength. I'll give you rest. I'll use you in spite of your problems, and I will help you to overcome, to resist temptation, and to become and to be all that God would really have you to be. We can go from being undone and unclean to being puffed up and holy. We can understand that, God, I was unworthy of you. And then all of a sudden we get the position and we start thinking, I own this position. But you got to remember always, God puts up whom he would. He puts down whom he would. You can become high and mighty in your thoughts and your positions, and you can fail and fall miserably on your face when you start leaning on your own understanding, your own position, your own power. There's been many preachers that learned to preach. They learned how to do it. They learned how to minister. There was one that predates most of you that was a world-renowned evangelist. And some of you, if I called his name, you would know who I'm talking about. But most of you probably wouldn't, because it's been many decades ago. But he was greatly used of God in the healing of the sick. He had lines of people that would come before him, and he would pray for them, and God was healing them. And it is said by those that intimately knew him that in the latter years of his ministry, he would, behind stage before he came out, he would be drinking until he came to minister pretty much totally drunk. And he would minister, and people were still healed, and all kinds of things still happened. And he died of acute alcoholism. What a travesty. Does that disqualify all the things that God did through a man that was inadequate? No, but he learned to trust in himself rather than trust in God. But he learned to activate faith, and people came with faith, and God honors faith. And even though he was an inadequate vessel at his passing, what a shame it was. But nevertheless, God's plan and God's ability to use even an alcoholic to accomplish good things for him. Most of you will know who Jimmy Jones was. The one that took a bunch of people down to Ghana in South Africa. And he had a large group of people down there that followed him. And they were down there, and he's the one that's noted for. He fed all of them. He had mothers giving poisoned Kool-Aid in bottles to their babies first, and then drinking the Kool-Aid themselves. And I've seen the video and the still photos of bodies just laying everywhere. All over the grounds, there were hundreds and hundreds of bodies when they came and found their place. That man was in a United Pentecostal church in Indianapolis, Indiana, back many, many years before all this happened. And he got in an argument with the pastor, and he rose up in rebellion, and he left. I'll go do my own thing. He went to San Francisco. I'm talking about Jimmy Jones. He went to San Francisco and became noted for his work with the homeless and the down and out. And he built a large following, and he served the community well and did a whole lot of things right. But then he started getting to the place that he felt like he was God. And he was such a great person, and all these people were willing to die for him or do a lot of other things for them. And he got people to come, and they had their Social Security checks being sent straight to him, and everybody had things in common, and he became extremely wealthy as he drew all these people to himself. And then when the authorities started getting on him, he said, well, we're getting out of here, because he didn't agree with the authority there. And he moved his whole group down. And the stories are told of if he wanted your wife or your husband for the weekend, they would give it to him, because they just were so cultish. Just anything he wanted, he got. Their paychecks were signed over to him. Everything was done at his bidding. And they surrendered themselves so much to this evil, evil man that they were all willing to die with him. When he found out that he had an acute disease and he was going to die anyway, he didn't want to die and leave all of his loyal followers. But he led all them to drink his poison Kool-Aid. And they died literally by the hundreds. They died and perished there in a suicidal joint agreement with him. Where did it start? It started out that he was a good man. He came to God. He got lifted up in his own pride, and he had talents and abilities and personality, and he got to thinking more of himself than he should. And he lost the basic ingredient of humility, of realizing that everything I am because God has given me the strength and the ability. And when he began to get lifted up in his own ability and his own talent, he not only destroyed himself, but he destroyed all those that followed him. Paul understood in all of his greatness and all the tremendous times he's used of God that every day of my life I have to murder the deeds of my flesh. I have to submit. I have to kill desires that should not be. I have to submit myself to God every day of my life. Because lest after I have preached to others, I've told others how to do it, I myself become a castaway. I told everybody else an example. I told everybody else the evils of alcohol. Yet then he started sipping a little bit on the side until he became an alcoholic. I warned others. It didn't change the fact that his warning to others was adequate and true. But rather than continuing to follow in the truth that he understood, he began to make excuses for himself. The rules don't apply to me. And he got to the place that he lost everything that he had. This question is asked in Scripture, whom shall I send? Many today claim they're ready to answer the call of God, but they've not humbled themselves. Others will state that they have received a word from God, but the Lord has not cleansed and sanctified their lips as yet. They have not spoken with the Spirit of God, but the spirit of their own humanity and flesh. Who am I going to send? God is not looking for those that have it all put together. Now they finally qualified, but he finds someone that was qualified by their service. And by their service and maybe unthankful task, but they were faithful in what the little things that they did. And as the Bible says, because you've been faithful in little things, now I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Experience and salvation will allow us to boldly proclaim, send me. God gave me the Holy Ghost. God gave me his presence. God washed my sins away by faith and baptism. Now what am I going to do with it? Fold my arms and sit back and think, well, now I've got it made. No, we haven't got it made, as the old saying says, until we get here, the heavenly gates click behind us. It's a daily struggle. It is very possible for you to walk with God for years, maybe even decades, and then lose your faith, lose your humility, lose your surrender, and then, end result, lose out with God. Maybe you've led many others to Jesus Christ and benefited many others by your calling and by your words, but then in the end, you lose out because you lost your way. You lost that same godly characteristic called humility, called surrender, called obedience, that said, God, here am I. It doesn't matter how long I've been around or how short I've been around. It requires the same attitude toward God to be used. And that's to be willing, to be humble, and to say, here am I, Lord, send me wherever you want me to be. Things that seem to be impossible are made possible. It's an oxymoron to say, to be humble and to be bold in the same verse, but you can be. You can be humble in the presence of God. Humble when you come to God in his presence. But with God's unction, you can boldly go to a task that's beyond your ability and accomplish what God calls you to be, because you boldly move in to the kingdom of God. You said, send me, and you were humble in his presence. You're humble because of sin. You're humble because of your lack of ability. But you're bold because I'm called of God, and God has sent me. And when God sends me, he will qualify me. He will give me the strength and the boldness to be. Isaiah viewed the Lord as a king, a judge, and a warrior. But he also viewed him as a high priest. The high priest offered cleansing for sin. And Jesus Christ now has become our high priest. We come to him with our sinful nature and our sinful life. And when we come in repentance, he cleanses us, washes us, and then strengthens us, emboldens us, and calls us and sends us into the work of God to be all that we can be. A young man came in the presence of God, and he came in with the attitude of, woe is me. I'm not a good person. I've got lots of problems. But his attitude came in humility before the presence of God. And the story is told that I won't go through all the particulars of the story, but a young man that felt so inadequate, but he submitted himself to God. God called him. He served well. And the end result, after years of walking, serving God, he became a pastor. And then he became an official leader and was greatly, tremendously used of God. Came from a position of hardship and trouble. And the past was not a pretty sight. But when we come and submit ourselves to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he blesses us with, empowers us, and causes us to be all that he wants and can cause us to be. Praise God. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Everybody say, Lord, send me.
Lord, send me.
And if you say that and you mean that, he will send you. Where's he going to send you? He may not send you to Africa or China or some difficult foreign field or country. He might send you next door to your neighbor. He may send you to a fellow workman or work lady at your place of employment. He might send you to a classmate at school. But if you're submitted to the will of God, God will find a place where he can use you, where he can send you into the kingdom of God. Let's stand to our feet. Lord, if you can find anything, if you can find any place, anything, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Take my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Could you sing it from your heart today?
You can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Here I am, Lord.
If you can use anything,
Lord, you can use me.
Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Here I am in your presence, Lord.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
I wasn't real lengthy this morning. It's still early. I think maybe, as Pastor often does, just ask us to come forward just for a few moments. Just come here and making yourself available to God, to the kingdom of God. Just come and surrender yourself to the Lord here at the front for a moment. Come singing, take my hands, Lord. Take my feet. Somehow, Lord, speak through me. You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. Here I am, I'm available, Lord. Here I am, Lord.
If you can use anything, Lord,
you can use me.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Sing it one more time. Here I am, Jesus. Use me, Lord.
You can use anything, Lord.
You can use me.
You can use me, Lord.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Can we just tell that to the Lord today? God, I want to be used in your kingdom. I don't know exactly where I fit, but God, would you lead me to the spot? Lead me to the position. Lead me to the place that you can use me in his kingdom, Lord. Use me, Lord. Somewhere, Lord, I want to fit in. Somewhere I want to be of value. God, I don't want to just be a taker and a receiver, but I want to be a giver. I want to share what you've given to me. In the name of Jesus, if you can use me anywhere in your kingdom, Lord, would you use me for your glory, for your honor? I submit to you. I humble myself in your presence, Lord. Use me, Lord, in your kingdom. Use me, Lord, in your kingdom.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Here I am, Lord. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
One more time, let's thank the Lord for his word today. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, for talking to us. Give us direction. Help us to humble ourselves in your presence, Lord. If you can use us, Lord, if you can use this tainted vessel that we are, Lord, we submit ourselves to you. Cleanse us, purify us, make us valuable in the kingdom of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it.